Run the Rose City by doing the Portland Marathon presented by OHSU Health. The marathon and half marathon both feature several crossings of Portland's iconic bridges and have a downtown start and finish. Use code AMR20 for $20 off registration at portlandmarathon.com. And hurry, there's a price increase on May 1st. Welcome to AMR Answers. This is Sarah Bowen-Shea.
And this is Dimity McDowell.
Oh, Dim, so have you recovered from your Go the Distance weekend?
Are you asking if I, like, my whole body or just my, like, pelvic most delicate parts from sitting on the bike for 7 hours? what are you asking about?
Oh, yeah, boy, yeah. That is, ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so let's re-back up a little bit. I have recovered. It was a great, great weekend. It was so fun. It was unexpectedly fulfilling. I mean, I knew it was going to be a fun event, but the fact that we were all doing our challenges virtually, you know, it didn't have kind of the momentum that in real life race does or an event. But yeah, so I decided to go for 12 hours on my bike. I rode about 35 minutes every, the top of every hour. And wow. Yeah. And, but I was riding in my basement because it was snowy. It was literally a snowstorm here, like 35 degrees, and snowy on Saturday. And
on April, like, what was it?
Yeah. 20th. Yeah. 20th, yeah. Yeah. And I had, you know, when I put together this event, I like envisioned myself like riding around Cherry Creek on a sunny, crisp day. Like it was going to be beautiful. And I had it all in my head, what it was going to look like. And no, I'm like in the corner with like the Legos behind me. But that actually turned out to be a blessing because I could be, so we got on the Zoom room like 10 minutes before the top of every hour. So people could check in and just kind of connect with each other, which was actually really fun. It was fun to see what everyone was doing and hear different, you know, accents and that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, the day went by. So, and I didn't have a lot of time. Like you're like, okay, 35 minutes. Like that leaves 25 minutes. You think like, oh, I could, you know, send an email, answer a text, foam roll, do some physical therapy exercises, whatever. It's like, no, there is really no time before the top of the hour just rolls over really quickly.
Right, right. Because that was the point of it, that you chose to do 12 hours in that, so that whatever you had chosen to do meant that at the top of every hour, you did that task that you had set out for yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And so a lot of, most people ran or walked, right? And they did maybe an hour at the top of every, like you could go 6 hours, you could go 12 hours. Some people adjusted, like, One group of women they went 4 miles for 3 hours or 3 miles for 4 hours. I can't remember. Like, you know, it was very much DIY, right? It's not like, oh, you have to do this exact thing. So of course I had the best intentions to train as well for this. And I did. I mean, I have been riding my bike, but I have not been riding my bike like to be on it. So Grant and I did the math like two nights after or something. I was like, 35 minutes times 12 is 420 minutes, which is 7 hours in the saddle inside, which means that, you know, my bike is on a, it's my road bike and it's got a indoor trainer hooked up to the back wheel so that you can spin and change your gears and all the things, but it doesn't feel super sturdy and, to stand up on, you know, like, you know, like when you're coasting down a hill on your bike outside, like you can stand and like straighten your legs and give yourself a break, not be sitting in the saddle. And that is not the case when you are inside, or at least with my setup. So that was a little rough. I won't lie. There was a woman, Sarah, and I don't know where she lives, but she was doing a very similar thing. She was on a stationary bike inside and she checked in on Zoom room, gosh, at least six times, maybe more. And she was like one ahead of me. And like, cause she was in central time zone. So I started at 7 a.m. And so we were commiserating about how like, oh my gosh, like, it's just like those first few pedals, you know, like where you're just like, okay, I just gotta like, you know, just get used to it again and then I'll be okay. Right. It's like that starting up again. So it was such a good day though. I mean, I gotta say people absolutely like went for it. I was like, thank you all for playing with me. It was so fun. And I'm like, this is my idea of fun. It's like Saturday afternoon at 6 p.m. Like someone's like, yeah, I'm going to take a non-alcoholic beer in the shower to celebrate. I'm like, here we go. We don't need a cocktail party or a fancy dinner. We need like, you know, Stroop waffles and non-alcoholic beer in the shower to celebrate.
So. I tell you, I had never heard of people drinking in the shower before hanging around the Another Mother Runner Facebook page.
Like, No, I haven't really either. I've never brought anything in the shower. I mean, like, I'm a very basic shower. I'm like, conditioner, that's not the right order. Shampoo, conditioner, soap, maybe shave my armpits. I even hate shaving my legs in the shower. I'd rather do in the bath, you know? I don't do anything in the shower besides that. Like, no radio, no. You know what I got? Like a radio?
I listen to my iPhone, yeah.
Oh, so. Okay. Did you bring that in the shower with you?
Oh gosh, no! I just leave it on the counter,
and you just leave it blaring,
and I play it real loudly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I got? Oh gosh, what are they called? Shower something. I've gotten two packs of them from somebody, like different gifts, and the idea of them is really good. They're like discs, and I don't remember what they're called, but they're like discs that you put in the shower floor, and like as the hot water hits it, it's supposed to like release this awesome like lavender aroma or whatever. Mm. It's kind of like the shower equivalent of a bath bomb.
Yeah.
But I gotta say I'm not impressed so far. I don't know if I don't have a, you know what I mean?
Are you too far away from it because you're 6'4" and your nose is so far from the floor.
Exactly. It hasn't, maybe my water isn't hot enough. Maybe my shower isn't long enough, or maybe it needs to be totally enclosed, you know, like from top to bottom. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm like, okay, I just feel bad people wasted their money. I mean, I'll use them all. Maybe I'll use two at one and see if what on either side of me and see if it happens.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, let's jump into our questions. We have marathoner Robin, and she is training for her first ultra marathon.
Hi, Sarah. I'm Robin Godfrey, calling from Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm training for my first 50K, just coming off the Tokyo Marathon. I've run seven marathons, but never a 50K. And I was wondering on the training, how long should the longest run be? And we're doing our long run on trails, but how long should that run be? And should it be measured in time or should it be measured in hours? Our race is May 6th in Graceland Highlands in southwestern Virginia, and we have about a 5,000 elevation gain there. So we are planning our last long run at elevation, and we're planning on a 20-mile run, but we're thinking it's going to take us about 7 hours because of the terrain and the elevation. And I'm not sure if that's a good idea because of how long it will take us to recover. So welcome your thoughts on how long a 50K long run should be. Thanks so much.
Oh, well, kudos to completing the Tokyo Marathon, Robin. I tell you, having just been to Japan in December, I admire anyone who travels so far to run 26.2 miles. And I got to say, I feel like there are a fair number of women in our community who were in Tokyo in March running that marathon. So kind of a small AMR party.
Yeah, Karen Ryan, who we just had on the Boston Marathon recap, one that I just did for Many Happy Miles, she just finished her World Majors there and turned it into a trip. She was there for like two more weeks or something like that. And
how fantastic. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and Martha Musto was there and a couple other. Yeah, I'm like, wow, okay. It's a place to be in March.
Yeah. Would you, I know I'm fast forwarding here a little bit, Sarah, but would you run a marathon? Like, would you... Having traveled there, would you have wanted to run a marathon in Tokyo, or was the travel?
That's the big NO. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. You got to know yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that's very cool, Robin, that you're going from Tokyo to a very different environment, which is a 50K in southwestern Virginia with a lot of elevation. And I mean, that's like two very different situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read somewhere online that said a 50K is basically a slower marathon, which I just love. I really feel that took off a little bit of the intimidation factor of an ultra marathon.
Yeah. I mean, I think the word ultra just kind of gets you like kind of bristly, but then mm-hmm. you're like, well, mm-hmm. it's 5 more miles, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. So to be clear, if you're not good at your metric conversions, a 50K is 31, I think, 0.1 miles.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. 31.1. And most of the time that it's on trails, right? And so mm-hmm. trails inherently are going to slow you up for mm-hmm. two reasons. First, you've got to take care of your footing a lot more than you're just when you're on smooth pavement and you mm-hmm. kind of know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, trails, a lot of trails, it depends. You can definitely get some flat ones, will have a lot of elevation with it. And so you're mm-hmm. climbing a lot, you're descending, So it's, I mean, splits on the trails are not a indication of like your fitness or anything like that. I mean, certainly they, you know, obviously if you come in sixth in a trail race versus 60th, you're probably more fit, but it's like, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to go run 8-minute miles and then yeah, I'm going to get there. You know what
check,
I'm saying?
Check
like,
your ego. Definitely.
Check your ego. Yeah. Cause your splits will slow and yeah, but it's a different animal and it's really, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that trail runs should be done by time rather than distance, but I guess I'm a bit worried about a 7-hour training run. That just seems like a really long time to be on your feet for something that's going to be 31 miles. So what advice do you have for the longest long run, Coach Dim?
So two things. First of all, she's already gone, or by the time yes. this comes out, yeah. mm-hmm. race yeah. is going to be May 6th. So mm-hmm. our advice is moot no matter what.
Right.
So hopefully she did the right thing. But it's a blend of definitely going the distance, mm-hmm. to use a phrase that we just talked about. But mm-hmm. also, yeah, there is a tipping point where if you go too long, you typically are going to tip into a place where your recovery is going to be so, your recovery needs are going to be so great that you're not going to be able to kind of keep the momentum of your training going mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. risking injury. So what a lot of ultra runners do is break it up. So they will do a Saturday run and a Sunday run. Oh. So they'll go like, you know, It's good to go by miles because, again, like you don't know, you know, she knows how much elevation there's going to be. The more that you can mimic the course that you're going to race on is the better off you're going to be.
Okay.
So, you know, if she's got 5,000 feet of elevation, I'm not saying she needs to go climb 5,000 feet each time, but she needs to be on a hilly course, right? Mm-hmm. On something that has some elevation, looking to get maybe 2,000 to 3,000 feet at least on a longer run. And, you know, maybe on one day she would go 15 and the next day she would go 7 to 10. Mm. And that would get her to 25 miles over the weekend. And especially that shorter run, you're running on tired legs. Mm-hmm. So that's going to mimic kind of getting ready for that. In our 50K plan, which Coach Christy Scott wrote, she is a very talented ultra runner and coach. Our longest run has you going at 20 to 22 miles. Oh, so, okay. And then, but the next day is another 60 minute hike or easy run. So again, you're adding some miles on top of that. So I don't think 7 hours is too long. I mean, if that 20 mile run takes Robin 7 hours, I think that that's probably really good prep, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, she's obviously very fit coming off the marathon. So it's not like, you know, this one run isn't going to make or break her, but I think it's a really good practice to figure out how different the trails are going to feel versus what she just did in Tokyo. And hopefully she did it a couple weekends ago so that she has that time to recover and will be ready for May 6th.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. Well, good luck to you, Robin. So let's hear from brands that allow us to bring you this free content. Please consider supporting them since they support us. We'll be back soon with more questions and answers. For $20 off Portland Marathon registration, use code AMR20 at portlandmarathon.com and register soon. There's a price increase on May 1st. I hope this episode has your engine revved to race. I know mine is. I've signed up to run the Portland Half Marathon, part of the Portland Marathon presented by OHSU Health on Sunday, October 6th. It's my first half marathon in, 8 years. Giddy up. There are so many reasons why I opted for the Portland Half Marathon. Like the marathon, the half marathon course is beautiful, fast, and a fun way to see my beloved Rose City. Since Portland is bisected by the Willamette River, both the full and half marathon have numerous bridge crossings, yet the maximum course elevation is a mere 178 feet. Both the marathon and the half marathon start and finish downtown. Plus, Portland weather works in the participants' favor, usually moderate temps and dry skies.
Historical temperature averages for race day are a low of 50 and a high of 67 degrees. Historical chance of precipitation on race day is roughly 25%, although that's typically really early in the season for us to get wet weather here. Come chase your 13.1 or 26.2 dreams here in Portland on Sunday, October 6th. Join me in the Rose City. Register today at portlandmarathon.com and use code AMR20 for $20 off registration. Again, go to portlandmarathon.com, use code AMR20, and you'll save $20 off registration. And register ASAP. There's a price increase on May 1st.
This is Shannon looking for swimming workout suggestions.
Hi, my name is Shannon. I am from Richmond, Virginia area. Fairly new listener, but longtime runner. I'm calling to ask about swim workouts and any advice on best workouts to do or best places to get workouts to supplement running. Realistically, I can carve out about 30 minutes a week to swim, in addition to strength training and running and yoga. And I've been swimming consistently for about a year, once a week. And so I feel strong to get across the pool and do just basic laps, but I'm interested in any advice on specific workouts. Thanks so much. Love your show. Bye.
Shannon, thanks for tuning in and calling. I thought about this question as I swam this morning.
I know, it actually inspired me yesterday. So I went and got in the pool for the first time in a very long time. Yeah. I joined the YMCA near me. So it's not quite a drive to get to the pool. And it was kind of fun to be in a new situation.
A new pool until you realize, it's still just water with a line at the bottom.
Yeah, but this one has a deep end. I got to say, there's a difference about having a deep end versus having the one that I usually go to just is shallow the whole way across. And it just, something about that just makes me feel like I'm just not, makes me feel claustrophobic at times. I don't know.
I totally feel you, Dim. So the pool that I used to swim at that really saved my bacon during lockdown was in a different county. So it was open when all the ones here in Multnomah County were closed. And so they have a very deep end. And I just love swimming over deep water. And then the club that I swim at now is all shallow. And I'm like, no. You just don't feel as buoyant. And and speak of claustrophobic, I swam in a lane that was narrower than most of them. I seriously had to talk myself out of a panic attack on the first couple laps.
And then you had to split that lane with somebody. That's the worst. You have a narrow lane, like, and you've got the ladder. I'm going to have the ladder side and a narrow lane. I'm just going to get out right now. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. So Divity, so we've established that we are both swimmers, but correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you're much more focused about doing a workout in the pool than I am.
100%. I don't know how you go and swim. You just go like, I'm just going to go swim for 45 minutes and that's what you do.
Most days.
Yeah. I mean, that to me sounds like, what did you do today?
So, this will be scintillating. I warmed up with 100 yards of breaststroke. Then I swam. Oh, I pulled for, typically I pull for 1,000 yards, but I just went until I felt like stopping. And it turned out to be, I think, 1150 or something like that. But then I did do a little bit of a workout that I learned from Laurel, who is one of our BAM ambassadors, that I'm pretty sure Coach Liz or Coach Jen told her about. And should I tell you about it? It was,
sure.
I really like it. It's, and I will say, I'm going to say this as a caveat. When someone tells you a pool workout, it really is like the Peanuts adults talking to you. I'm just, when she texted me about it, all I heard was wah, 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 wah. And when I read her text, but then in the pool.
I was like, what are you talking about? I was thinking Charlie Brown. I'm like, what are you talking about the Peanuts for?
Yeah. And so it was, but in the pool, it made a lot of sense. So what it is, it's doing 75 yard repeats. So that's down, back, down. And you do on the odd ones, you do the first 25 and the third 25 easy, and the middle 25 hard or faster. And then on the odd ones, you do the first and third 25 hard and the middle one easy. And again, so right, that sounds like, you know, I've probably just scrambled everybody's brains. But when you're in the pool, you realize that you're going down, whenever you're going down, or, you know, let's say north to south, you're going slow. And whenever you're going south to north, you're going faster. And I don't know, it's really fun. I don't know it why is. It's fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fun because it makes the time go quicker and it gives you something to think about. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, there's nothing wrong with letting your brain, like, you know, just going like 1,000 meters and just spacing out, right? Like mm-hmm. that's totally fine. I'm not knocking that, but I do like having a workout because it, first of all, there's a couple reasons why. A, for me, it makes the time go faster. And I like to do mental math. I'd be like, oh, I'm 1/4 done. Oh, I'm this far done. I have 7/8 done. You know, like that's how I pass time in the pool. Mm-hmm. And then also it gives you a break and it gives you like a purpose. And first of all, the break is really helpful because you can stop, grab your water, take a break. And when you do that, you reset, right? Like I know for me, like when I get towards the end of say, I don't know, say I'm swimming a 300 and like the last 50, I'm really tired. Like going, you know, for another 100 is fine, right? It's, there's nothing wrong with that. But I would probably be better served form-wise and mentally to stop, reset, and then go again, right? Like stop, take a pause, because you'd be surprised, right? You feel fresh, right? You feel a little bit faster. You feel, it's that like feeling of like, oh, I'm going again, you know, instead of just like, I'm going, you know, it's kind of like a track workout, right? It's not that it's really fun, but there is, it's just, there's just some stops and starts and, or interval workout or something like that, where you can, it just gives you something to look forward to, something to kind of gauge your progress by. So I like doing them. I mean, and that, but it, you know, it's not like my workouts have a purpose really, other than to get me to a certain distance. You know, don't right at this very moment, I haven't been swimming much at all. As I just said, like, it's not like I try to go really fast or I try and worry about my splits so much. It's just more, it breaks it up. So typically the way that you did it, I mean, you kind of just explained it, but to structure a swimming workout, you're going to do a warm up, right? And that could be anywhere from, you know, 200 to 400 to 600, depending upon how far you're planning on swimming and your swimming abilities. And that's just nice and easy, like getting yourself warmed up, getting yourself, you know, feeling good, getting all the joints lubricated, all that kind of stuff. And then you can either do drills, which if you know drills from, you know, your swim team, or you can look some up on the internet. It's not, there isn't like, they're not terribly complicated. You just have to have a little like Rolodex of them in your head or write them down, right? Like you can do one arm, you can do like...
Catch up.
I can think of right now. Catch up drill. Yep. There's some other ones. I haven't done a drill. Oh, you
drag
it,
finger drag on finger your recovery.
Yep. Like high elbow, that kind of thing. Exactly. You can do a couple, you know, some 50s or some 25s with drills to kind of cement your form in. And then you do like the main set, which your main set, I would say, would probably have been those 75s today, Sarah, instead of the pull.
Oh, yeah. For, oh, yeah. The other one is just to get a bulk of yardage in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, and then you can do some, you know, again, some stuff you can bring in, a pool buoy, you can bring in, a kickboard. That's always fun to do too. And then you do a cool down.
So, how important do you think it is to do various strokes? Because typically the only stroke I do, you know, the majority of the stuff I do is freestyle. And then I will do some breaststroke to break things up, but I'm not out there doing the fly or even very much backstroke, but boy, there are people at my club that do a lot of butterfly. Just like, no, that's, you know, that's extreme. That is just not-
I mean, it's really personal preference, right? I don't do a lot of butterfly, but I like to do IMs or, is it international medley, which is you go butterfly, back, breast, and free. I like it mostly because it breaks it up again, right? Like that's what I like. I like to do that. And then like stop, I'll do like hundreds on those. And, I know we're talking a lot about swimming, so you can like fast forward 15 seconds if you're like, this is so uninteresting, but, the other thing you can use is a clock, and that's really fun. I mean, most pools have a clock that goes by seconds up on the pool on the, you know, on the wall somewhere. And so like, say you're doing 50s, you just do 150, like at a moderate pace, like not crazy fast and not I'm cooling down to get out. Okay. And see what that is. Say, and just for fun, say it's 50 seconds. Okay. Then do 10 sets of 50 on the 1 minute. Right. And so like you have, so you know, like it, it kind of keeps it going. You come in, you rest for 10 or so seconds, and then you go again. You can try to go faster. Can I get done in 49 or 48? Or maybe think about pacing. Can I go 51, 52? Again, like just kind of plays with it a little bit. And I enjoy doing that. So usually like if I do an IM, I like use that first one as a gauge of kind of where I am that day. And then I'll just like add 15 seconds or so to it so that I get enough break so that I can come back and not just kind of collapse into the pool. right. But to answer your question, I mean, I think you don't have to do backstroke or butterfly at all. You know, it's one of those things, like if you grew up doing it like on swim team, it might be easier, but like to learn it as an adult, it's probably not key. The only thing that I really like about backstroke is that it opens you up. It opens up your chest, and like we spend so much time on our phones, on our computers, and freestyle has that same kind of forward motion, that kind of, you know, a little bit of a hunch. I mean, you're more stretched out, but so backstroke is nice in that you're really opening up your chest, you're moving your arms in the other direction, you know? So if you feel comfortable doing that, I would say throw it in every once in a while.
Yeah. And for folks who are new to this, it's very simple. If you have a workout, and we will link to you, you kindly sent a link to 6 30-minute swim workouts that you can print those out, and then you put them in this really high-tech Ziploc baggie that you keep at the end of the pool next to your water bottle, you know, next to your pool buoy, whatever. And so that's how you can see what you're doing. So you don't have to memorize the workout that you're going to do.
No. And then the other thing too, is that, you know, so go, you know, maybe you, if this sounds interesting to you, you know, maybe you write out all six of them, or maybe you go, you know, if you just Google like swim workouts, you're going to get a ton. And I just picked one that had 30 minutes because that's how long we knew that she had, but, write out six, put them in the bag. I recommend using either a ballpoint pen or pencil, because if you use something like a marker, that will still it'll get wet. I promise you, I've seen it happen more than once. And then go put them in your swim bag. And then when you get there, you just pull one out and do it. That's the other thing. Is it just like, there's no dawdling, right? You're just like, okay, this is my workout. I'm going to do it, you know, instead of trying to make it up on the fly. So.
Yuck. All right. And here is the question that you alluded to earlier. This is Nicole, who wants to talk sky's the limit marathons.
Hi, Serendipity. This is Nicole from Minnesota. I am hoping to run a marathon, my first marathon, for my 40th birthday in a couple years. I know a couple years is a long time, and I'm already planning, but I want to know what marathon you guys would recommend. Like I said, I live in Minnesota, but since it is a couple years out, I have time to save and plan, so sky's the limit. What would be your ideal first marathon to run on a 40th birthday?
Well, Nicole, the moment I heard your question, I literally exclaimed out loud in my office, I love this question. although, truth be told, my first thought was, why ruin a perfectly good banner birthday by running 26.2 miles?
So everyone has different, like, my kind of fun, you know, going the distance. That's Nicole's kind of fun, too. I think she would enjoy that kind of thing.
Yes, your kindred spirits. Yes. And planning and, you know, something new. Yeah. Yeah. Totally cut from your dimity. And which is a type of fabric. So
there you go. It truly is.
So Nicole's question, Dim, I might have to you as well, reminded me of what Bart Yasso said a million years ago on one of our very first episodes of the Another Mother Runner podcast. I think we had asked him what was his first marathon, and I seem to recall that it was the Bethlehem Marathon, not in the Middle East, but in Pennsylvania. And he just always regretted not having a more memorable, quote unquote, impressive first marathon, like something that's going to get a little wow when you tell people at a cocktail party or on the sidelines of your kid's soccer practice. So, you know, having a little bragging rights from the get-go is something that running legend Bart Yasso wishes he had. So it made me think of that.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a great thing. I mean, and it's hard to tell Nicole where to go, right? Because it's really what calls to her. I think it's, you know, I don't know, for me, to run a marathon on my birthday, I mean, I would definitely pick somewhere I want to go, right? So mm-hmm. in my mind, I would think like, I like to go to Austin, Texas. I would go to Nashville, like somewhere mm-hmm. that I could do something else to celebrate the birthday. Mm-hmm. Napa. I mean, Big Sur, but I feel like that's too hard. I don't know. I don't want to run Big Sur. I don't know. So those are the ones that come to mind. But really what I would say is what calls to you. And mm-hmm. There's a lot of things to take into consideration, and we can talk about those in a minute. What calls to you, Sarah?
Yeah. So for me, it's definitely all about the location. And for me, the race would basically also be an excuse to just go to a glorious place. So I'd want to go international, perhaps, like the Athens or Paris Marathon. If I was going to stay on this continent, I'd opt for...
Even though you just said you don't want to run a marathon after going to Tokyo.
Yeah, I know, but
that's... flying to Athens from Portland is a lot longer than flying to Tokyo, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because I used to really want to run the Paris Marathon. I finally decided, no, if I have another trip to France in me, I'm not going to run a marathon while I'm there. So this is, I'm in Nicole's head right now.
International is a possibility if that's appealing to her, is what mm-hmm. you're saying.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. So, but if I were going to stay on this continent, I'd opt for a scenic mid-size race. So there'd be that critical mass of participant and spectator support without being overwhelming, because bear in mind, it is going to be Nicole's first marathon. And so, you know, you think of Chicago, New York, Marine Corps, and I just think, masses of people. It's so intimidating. How do I know where to go? Do I have to ride a bus to the start? You know, all those logistics. I don't want that much thinking to have to go into the process. So this does get, you get to stay on this continent, and though you get to go international, which is the Vancouver Marathon in British Columbia. It's gorgeous.
Go.
Yeah. I've run it. It's so scenic. It's just really, really pretty. There is good crowd support, and it's foreign, quote unquote, but it's all in English. So I like that. Although they do have, they measure by kilometers. And I remember.
I was about to say, yeah, that's a little ooh la la. That's kind of fun.
Right. I do remember, though, at one point. So I've run two marathons in Canada. I ran Victoria Marathon as well. And I remember yelling out to one volunteer, I'm like, is it 41 or 42K? Because, you know, they're showing it. And I'm like, okay, how many left do I have? So then also, but if I wasn't going to go to Canada, I would consider, you know, she's there in Minnesota, whether she wants to come west. I would think about Portland Marathon. It's a great size. It's really supportive. It's very scenic, typically great weather. Or go the other way and go to Richmond Marathon, which is deemed America's friendliest marathon. And so I just think, again, they're both mid-size cities, mid-size races.
Yeah, I think those are good ideas. I mean, I think the things that you touched on, crowd support is key. I mean, my mm-hmm. sister Sarah ran the Durango, Colorado mm-hmm. Marathon once, mm-hmm. which, I mean, talk about, you know, that's not what you want to do. It's just, there's not enough people on the sidelines. No harshness to Durango, but it's just, you know, you want to have a lot of buoyancy. Like a city, Indianapolis is another good one. I mean, you know, not, I'm going to Indianapolis to celebrate my 40th birthday. Like, it doesn't quite have the ring of Paris or Athens, but it does have a really, really good marathon. So crowd support is one thing. And then also, like, just again, like, what calls to you? I mean, because mm-hmm. I mean, the Twin Cities is such a good marathon, and mm-hmm. maybe you do that because you could have people see you along the way, and you know, maybe your friends could be out there holding signs, and you have a big celebration party after, something like that. You know, so there are lots of kind of figure out what feels. She's got years to plan. So
I guess I was just mainly thinking. I thought that I'm going to use this marathon just as an excuse to get in a really good trip.
So yeah, then, yeah, which is kind of what she asked, but I just kind of was just saying other things too. Yeah, yeah.
Right, so. Yeah. But I like your idea of making it into a party, and then, you know, because you got your pals there and everything, and you can sleep in your own bed the night before, which is always nice for a debut marathon, or any marathon, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Grandma's is another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another Minnesota flavor.
Yes. All right, well, keep us posted, Nicole, which one you end up doing. So, all right, well, thanks to folks for calling in with these questions. We are always on the lookout for other questions, and the number to call is 470-BADASS-1. That's 470-223-2771. That number's always in our show notes. And when you call in, please tell us your first name and where you're calling from, and keep your message to a minute or less.
Are you training for a half or full marathon like Nicole's going to be in a couple years? Are you paying attention to your nutrition? If not, I don't mean to sound harsh, but if you're not, you're doing your training and yourself a disservice. The good news is that we have a five-star program written by ultra runner Stephanie Howe, who has her PhD in exercise science and nutrition. It's called Nutrition for Running, Half Marathon and Marathon. And for just $25, you get a comprehensive packet that details how to eat before, during, and after all types of runs, as well as a webinar and podcast where Dimity and Stephanie talk through all the materials. That would be me referring to myself in the third person. So if you are investing the time in your training, invest in your nutrition as well. You're not going to regret it. We will put the link in our show notes if that's something that you are needing.
Nice. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Medor from Fire on the Bluff.
Keep those questions coming. We're here with what, Sarah? Answers? Butterfly? I don't know. Paris?
When you said butterfly, I'm like, did we talk about insects?
Peanuts?